Blog Talk Radio.
Work. So I will be leaving Amazon
I will be pursuing the ministry and this work full time so that I can give the Most High my all. And I'm just, you know, walking in the faith that he will make it work. That it is his work that he has told me to do. So, yes, we're going to be pursuing this thing full time and doing the work of the Most High. You know, so I pray that you pray for me and that Yah blesses all that we put our hands to concerning this work, and that he is able to keep us. We know that he is, and I know that he will. So that being said, happy Sabbath, wherever you may be, in Pal Talk, on Black Ball Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are in Africa or on the European continent, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. On today, we're going to be doing the Day of Yah. And, you know, we want to look at this day because it's, you know, it's the side of Yah that the world does not want to see. You and I don't want to see this. Our Yah, our Elohim, is a consuming fire. And he is being generous and gracious right now. He's being merciful right now, in that he just hasn't destroyed this world. He's having mercy and he's dispensing grace. And while he is dispensing grace and mercy, all those who hear his voice, all those who hear the word of the gospel, should be running to him. Because once he closes this door, bam, there ain't no more mercy, there ain't no more grace. And then even those of us who belong to him, you know, we better be very humble, very humble, because the Most High Elohim, when his day comes, when he chooses to unleash himself upon the world, it's not going to be a pretty day. It's not going to be a pretty time. And so we want to look at this today. And, you know, I want to get through it. I want us to, you know, as I said, we're saying on last night, the world and everything in it should fear the Most High. You know, it's the foundation for everything, and I know we probably get tired of hearing that. But this is something that we really, really, really need to transmit to everyone. So I'm going to give you everything that I have that we might transmit this to the world and that we might put it within ourselves, the honest fear of him. You know, not just by word, but also by deed and by our life. So he says, you know, we are saved from his wrath. We are saved from his wrath. And his wrath to come is nothing nice. It's nothing nice at all. So we're going to look into that tonight. On Sunday, we will have the spiritual wellness class. Tomorrow night, again, I don't know what the Most High will have me to speak on even tomorrow morning yet. But, you know, after we get through tonight, I will go and pray, and what is it that you would have me to say to your people? So let us go ahead and start off our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. Before we do that, Let me do this. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us all turn toward the east. Okay? So let's do that ahead of time. Ladies, uncover your heads. Cover your head. Men, uncover your head. Let's turn toward the east. The direction that the sun comes up, opposite the way that it's headed down. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us give our Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this his day, and let us honor him in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you. We lift you up and we thank you, Father. All that you do for us, for just loving us and keeping us, hallelujah, for giving us a same mind that we do. We thank you for you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. You are majesty of our majesty. You are glory of our glory. Your tender mercy. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There is none like you in heaven above or in the earth beneath. God, we just glorify you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people would keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they have all gone by the way of the grave, but we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. In spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would just turn from our wicked way and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, that we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us through all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Father, we pray for the seed of Abraham, that all that you should call, Father, that they would hear your voice and that they would come. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom tonight, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servants and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Everybody, that the next new moon service is, we'll be celebrating it on the 8th of July. The new moon is on the 9th, but at evening time starts the 9th, so we will be celebrating it the evening of the 8th, the new moon for July. All right. So if everybody has, you know, get your wine or your grape juice, your unleavened bread or your wafers, Be prepared to have your meal for those of you who are not fasting. And we want to have a blessed time in the Most High and welcome him in and ask him to meet us in this new moon. Okay. All right. That being said, I want to play, it's on my heart to play this song. This is for my LO, my LOD, God LOD, creator of the universe.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love, it is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture, so perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Nobody's going to be saying, what is that? because the heavens are going to be darkened. He's going to make it to where he's the only light in the sky globally. And we're going to see him coming. And all those people who have lived contrary to him that don't really, have not really believed that he really exists, they're going to start crying. They're going to start wailing. Because they're going to realize that all this time, especially for all of us who are alive, realize all this time that they have been worshiping the wrong thing or not worshiping him at all. And so all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him. And the scripture says, even so, so should it be. Amen. Because he has been long-suffering. He has been merciful and kind. He has not, you know, brought judgment on the entire world. He says, once I destroyed it with water, I won't do it that way again. I won't come against all flesh that way again until I come in my wrath the second time to make sure that everybody that's living, everybody that has lived has had a chance to come into this kingdom. The book of Joshua, chapter 4. Let me check this. Make sure. Joshua chapter 4. Yes, Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. The book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of Yah, that it is mighty, that you might fear Yah, your Elohim forever. This is one thing that mankind should know, that the Most High's hand is mighty and that they should fear Yah, Elohim. You know, it is all through this book, and this is the basis for everything. So when that day comes, it's going to be too late because judgment will be upon the earth. And if you haven't feared him, to that point, if you haven't done what he said to do up to this point, there is no more, there's no time to repent after this. Most High will have closed the door on repentance. He will have closed the door on forgiveness. And he's coming to take out his anger. His wrath is anger. You guys think I've been playing. You think that my word is not good. You think that I'm not going to come and do what I said that I'm going to do. You think that I am a myth. You think that I'm somebody that someone, some man made up. And there's all these different thoughts in the world concerning the Most High and what people think. Oh, he's not real, or that's just a myth, or that's that Christian God, or that's that Jewish God. He's not real. You know, we can't prove half the stuff that's in the Bible. So the world says. They've been trying to find Noah's Ark forever. Going up to Mount Ararat and looking for it, drilling for it, and praying that they can find it, because they just can't believe that the story's true. So let's go and prove it. He's going to judge all the earth because he has been calling all the earth. He's been calling all the earth, all of man, to repentance in one way or another. And when he comes, the world won't be able to say, we didn't hear, we didn't know. They won't be able to say that. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. We're going to be getting verses 24 through 31. Book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 24 through 31. Elohim that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is the master of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Most High says, you know what? There ain't nothing that I need from you. That I need from you. What he wants from us is not a need. And there's a difference. I don't need anything from anything that I create, seeing that I created. What can it do for me? So we as his children, what he asks from us, that he wants from us, one, it ain't to love him, it's to fear him. Two, is to walk in his ways. Three, is to love him. Four, it is to worship him, adore him, realize that, you know what, the creator of everything has made himself known to us as mankind. Nature, you know, the animals, believe it or not, they're already in relationship with the Most High, and they're not out of order. It is us, mankind, that is out of order. He says, I don't need anything from you. So I want you to worship me with your heart. Don't try to create an image of me. Don't try to describe me. Don't make an image that you think looks like me. Verse 26, it has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The Most High knows who's going to dwell in what country and what the boundaries of those nations are throughout all history. He knows what countries are going to take over what countries. He knows what countries are going to disappear from the face of the earth. He knows all those are going to be here in the last days. That they should seek Yah, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. Think about that. We should all be seeking Yah. And if happily they might feel after him and find him. The world is too busy trying to self-govern, trying to, you know, create governments and to rule themselves rather than counting on the Most High, rather than seeking his faith, trying to find him. They've been busy trying to come up with our own standards, our own commandments, our own laws, our own morals. Instead of going to the Creator, the one that you created us. And he says that this is confusion. And when you think about it, why would you go anywhere else other than the Most High Elohim concerning yourself personally, concerning mankind as a whole, seeing that he has created us all? What do you want for us to do? What is your wish? What is your command? How should we be acting? How should we govern ourselves? And so, how is it that we are not confused when we think that we can do a better job than the Most High? That's why he calls it Babylon, and the head of it being the head of that, the greatest kingdom on the earth was Babylon. All the other kingdoms after that have been lesser than. So Babylon is what it's called. But Babylon means confusion. Man, all these governments, different governments, think that they can rule the world and better govern man than the Most High Elohim. It is confusion. That's why he says, come out of her. The world, the government systems, and count on him. Don't count on man. If we know who we serve, then our faith has to be in him. So he says that they should seek Yah, if happily they might feel after him and find him. Happily means that you're doing it chaotically. You know, you're feeling around in the dark. You can't see what you're looking for. He says, even though he's not far away, but because man won't open their hearts, because man won't approach him as Elohim, because man won't put the Most High where he belongs in their lives, he's right there in front of us, and we're searching for him. And he says, all you got to do is open your heart and be honest with me, and you will find me when you search for me with your whole heart, your heart. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as your own poets have said, for we are all his offspring. Now, we are all supposed to be his offspring, and we all have the ability to become his offspring. As I said before, Messiah said he came to give us the power to become the sons of Elohim. And all men, if they will listen to the gospel, have the power to become his son, his children. But we want to be into everything else. We want to be into Confucius and Buddha and Allah and you name it, everything but the Most High Elohim. For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven art, graven by art, and man's devices. In other words, the Most High is not made of those things. He don't want us to be, he don't want to be represented by those things. In the times of their ignorance, Elohim winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Doesn't care whether you're in Africa or whether you're in Russia or whether you're in China or whether you're in the United States or South America or on the island of Hawaii or Fiji or in the South Pole or in the North Pole. Men everywhere. Because, see, some form of this gospel has gone out, and now the Most High is going to allow the real gospel to come out so that no man can have an excuse. The gospel of the kingdom. The desired state that the Most High wants for this world. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Who has the Most High raised from the dead other than Yeshua HaMashiach, a.k.a. Jesus the Christ, who he's going to judge this world by. And so this gift that the Most High has given us, this birth that he has given us, this new birth that he has given us, this birthright that he has bequeathed to us, if all those who don't take it seriously, it will not go well for them. All those who take Messiah for granted, it will not go well for them. That includes you and I as well if we don't get right with the Most High. If we don't value what Messiah did, and if we don't esteem it at the highest level, it will not go well for us. Because he's going to come back and say, you said that you appreciate it and you love me? Hold on a minute, please. All right, my apologies. Here's a point of the day. And when that day comes, it's too late. And when Messiah's return, he said, I didn't come to judge you the first time. But when I come back this next time, I'm coming to judge you. And I'm coming to judge all those who took salvation for granted, who said they believed on me, but didn't do what I said to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to come back I'm going to judge the wicked, because he's going to really consider that wickedness. Going to dump in with the rest of the lot, dump any of us in with the rest of the lot that didn't believe. Because if you don't keep his commandments, you can't say you believed him. Can't say you loved him if you don't keep his commandments. So he said, I'm setting a day. I'm appointing a day. He knows what that day is. And he says, in the position of son, I could not tell you. That is reserved for position of father. Because from the position of son, I would have told you if it was given to me to tell you. But it wasn't given to me to tell you. We're not doing that from this position because we don't want people waiting on a day. We don't want people waiting on July 4th, 2021, saying that this is the day that the Most High said he would be coming back. We need to get ready. We need to get right. We need to repent. He says, no, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You're going to know the sign, but you ain't going to know the exact date or the hour. I haven't told anyone. But when I come, you're going to all know I'm coming. So that day, what we want to talk about. And that day, when he finally does come, it's going to last. His judgment and his wrath is going to last more than 24 hours. So let's start off with some things. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, we're going to be starting in verse 1, and we're going to be going through verse 14. Deuteronomy 1, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. These are the statutes. This is when the Most High selected Israel. Selected Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, when he sent Moses back into Egypt to bring Israel out of Egypt, and he gave us his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. This is what he wanted us to do in the promised land, and this is what he wanted us to do globally. Had we done what we were called to do, this is what Messiah is going to do on a global scale. So pay attention here, because this is what he, when he comes back, this is exactly what he's going to do. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which thy Elohim, of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it. All the days that you live upon the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nation which you shall possess, thee, they weren't supposed to be possessing us. We were supposed to be possessing them. But we wouldn't do right. Our forefathers wouldn't do right. Messiah, when he comes back, he's going to possess the entire world, the entire earth. Which you shall possess, serve their God upon the high mountains and upon the hills and upon under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto Yah, your Elohim, but unto the place which Yah, your Elohim, shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name. There, even unto the his habitation, shall you seek, and there thou shalt come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hands, and your vows, and your free will offerings, and your firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there you shall eat before Yahweh Elohim, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, and you and your households, wherein Yahweh Elohim has blessed thee. You shall not do after all these things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. I do a precept off of this one verse. Right in your own eyes, because that's what people are doing. He says, don't you do it. You shall not do after all these things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which Yahweh Elohim giveth you. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Yahweh Elohim giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, and all the choice vows which you vow unto Yah. And you shall rejoice before Yah, your Elohim. You and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidservants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Don't be making a church to me everywhere. Don't be building an altar to me everywhere. I didn't tell you to put a church on every corner. I didn't tell you to build an altar everywhere and wherever you please. Where I put my name at, where I tell you to, that's where you put it. Because this is what the heathen does. The heathen builds a church everywhere, on every high hill and every low valley, in all the groves. Just whatever they're worshiping, they put an altar there. He says, you don't do that with me. You shall not do that to me. And so we got to understand that in a lot of ways, we are out of order. Now, we weren't supposed to do this coming into the promised land. Messiah is going to come and tear down all of these false religions. He's going to utterly destroy them out of the earth. Not just in the promised land, but the whole earth. And the name of Yah shall be one in the whole earth. And everybody won't be putting up an altar in a church everywhere. Only where he says he put this name. So this was supposed to be from the very beginning. In the nations that we were sent into, in the nations that the Most High caused us to take over and possess, we're supposed to tear down all the false gods, all these false images, all the false worship. We're supposed to let the world know that this is the true and living Elohim. This is who you worship, and this is only who you worship. But our forefathers wanted to be like them. Wanted to worship their God. Wanted to worship our God like they worship their God. He said, don't do that. Don't you dare do to me and worship me the way they worship their God. But only come to where I tell you to. But in the place which Yah shall choose in one of your tribes, there shall you offer thy burnt offerings, and there shalt thou do all that I command. This is going to be on a global scale, trust me. Israel, the nation of Israel, was just a microcosm of what the Most High wants to do on the earth, what it done on the earth. So let's role play the scenario for just a second. Our forefathers, let's say that they did the right thing, that they obeyed the Most High Elohim, that they obeyed everything that he said to do, then he would have secured us in Israel, and from Israel we would have started spreading out into the world, and he would go before us and conquer these nations, and we would tear down false religion in all these nations until the world was conquered. That was the plan. But we messed the plan up. We wouldn't do what it is, well, I won't say we, our forefathers, they're taking credit. We're the ones in captivity. We're the ones scattered throughout all the earth because of them. But that's what the plan was. So when Messiah comes back, Yahshua is the one that took them into the promised land. Yahshua, when Yahshua comes back, he's going to do what Joshua was supposed to do when he took us into the promised land. He's going to do it in a global scale. This is what we got to understand. Everybody that's worshiping anything other than the Most High, in trouble. In trouble. Okay? On this day. Let's go to Amos chapter 5. The book of Amos chapter 5. And we're going to get verse 18. Amos chapter 5 and verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yah. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yah. To what end is it for you? Hear what Yah is saying. The day of Yah is darkness and not light. It ain't going to be nothing pretty. This is not a day of gladness. This is not a day of rejoicing. This is not a day of celebrating. It's just a woe unto you that desire that day. You don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you are, what's going to happen. You can't have a clue if you're asking and praying to God, oh, yeah, I'll be glad when Messiah returns. No, you won't. See, this is a fallacy that has been taught by the churches to the body of Messiah, to those people who are seeking after truth, but they won't give them truth. Too busy trying to maintain power and hold on to their money so they can live the lives that they want to live. But the Most High said, this is not a day that you should desire. What is it to you? What do you think is going to happen? You think I'm coming back and passing out lollipops and patting people on the head and kissing foreheads? No. I'm coming back and I'm going to tear up some stuff. I'm coming back and I'm going to raise. I'm going to actually burn up the promised land. I need to clean it. I need to cleanse it. So this is not a day that anyone should desire. People are, you know, I heard people teach this day like, you know, it's all roses and sunshine. And he's telling us, no, this is not a day that you should desire. It is darkness and not light. It is a terrible day. Go to Obadiah chapter 1. The book of Obadiah, chapter 1. We're going to get verse 15. Obadiah, chapter 1 and verse 15. For the day of Yah is near upon all the heathen, as though thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. In another place, he says, all those nations that have held Israel as slaves must go into captivity. As they have done, so shall it be done unto them. Whatever their sins are, however they have behaved concerning the earth, concerning the people of the Most High, concerning the saints, so shall it be done unto them. So the Most High said, that's why he tells us, vengeance is mine. What I want you to do is show forth love. I want you to show forth forgiveness until the time that there is no more time for repentance, that there is no more time that I'm going to be dispensing mercy, that there is no more time that I'm going to dispense grace. I didn't tell you to take out your vengeance because you know what? You were just as bad as they were. But vengeance is mine, and I'm going to come. So as they have done, so shall they be rewarded. The Most High, when he sent Israel into captivity, he says he was but a little man with us. He hadn't cast us off. This was a disciplinary move. I was but a little man with you. But the nations took it too far. The nations read this book. They know who we are. You think that it's coincidence that they don't want us to be back in power? Do you think it's a coincidence that they don't even want us back in the land? It is not. You think it's a coincidence that they tried to put us into perpetual slavery? Oh, no, once we get you into slavery, we're not letting you out. It's not by accident. So the Most High says, I was but a little man. I cast them out of my presence, but I didn't tell you to go as far as you went. So some of this was caused by the Most High. Some of this was caused by those nations, the heathen, that didn't want to, you know what, you're the people of the book, and we know what the scriptures say. You're supposed to be the head, not the tail. We want to keep you the tail. We don't want to be the tail. So while we got you this way, we ain't taking our foot off your neck. The one who's going to have to take their foot off of our neck is the Most High himself. He says it's coming. First Samuel, book of First Samuel, chapter 2. The book of First Samuel, chapter 2, we'll get verse 10. The adversaries of Yah shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Yah shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. When Messiah comes back, he says that he's going to break. He's that stone that breaks into pieces. He's going to break the nations into pieces. He's going to break the wicked. He's going to remove them from the kingdom. This is what the world should have known all along. Go to 1 Kings. First Kings, chapter 8. And let's get verse 6. 1 Kings, chapter 8, and verse 6. That all the people of the earth may know that Yah is Elohim, and that there is none. All these nations, all the peoples of the earth, no matter where they're at, he's coming back to show them all. There is only one Elohim. I don't care when I came out of Egypt and I brought my people out of Egypt, I used the gods of Egypt to show Egypt that their gods were not gods. Everything that they worshiped, I controlled and cursed them with it. Even up to the point of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh thought that he was God. And I showed Pharaoh, if you are God, then protect your firstborn from me, because I'm going to protect my firstborn from you. So if you think you are a God, stop me from killing your son. And when Yah came through, the destroyer came through, and all the firstborn in Egypt were dead, including Pharaoh's son, only thing he could say is, your Elohim is Elohim. That's all he could say. He has destroyed us with everything that we worship. We worship the Nile. He turned it into blood. We worship the sun. He made it pitch black. We couldn't see nothing for 3 days, but there was light over in Goshen. Everything they worship, he proved to them that that is not an Elohim. That is something that I have created and I control, and you're worshiping. So he's going to come back that all the people of the earth may know that he is Elohim, and there is none else. If you've been worshiping Buddha, if you've been worshiping Confucius, if you've been worshiping Allah, if you've been worshiping whatever other god people come up with, say, whatever other god they're worshiping, they're going to know on this day there's only one, and it is him. This is what the whole purpose is, because the whole earth, how do we go from Adam and Eve, and then we split up into all these different nations, all these different tongues, all these different kindred of people, and somehow, somewhere, they started making up their own gods. Think about that. We go from Adam and Eve, then we come to the flip, to the Tower of Babel, and the Most High confuses the language of all the people so that they group up into different languages, but they all knew what they were coming against when they were building that tower. And the fact that they are now have different languages shouldn't have taken away their understanding and their memory of what they were doing. They just couldn't work together to accomplish it. But somehow through time, they came up and started making up their own Elohim, their own God, and forgot the true and living God. He said, so I'm going to come back and make it known. There's only one Elohim, and it's me. Second Kings, chapter 19. The book of Second Kings, chapter 19. Verse 15. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 19, and verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before Yah and said, O Yah Elohim of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art Elohim, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. It's only one Elohim, one Elohim. For this purpose was Israel created. You are my witnesses. Is there an Elohim besides me? Moshe says, I don't know any. I don't know any other Elohim besides me. If he don't know, how can we know some other Elohim? How can we come up with three Elohims in one? He says, it's only me. And I'm doing everything. And I'm going to come back to make sure that y'all know it's only me. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. One. The same being. I'm going to let y'all know that. Y'all going to see it for sure. I didn't create Israel for any other purpose but to bring the gospel and to let people know who I am and that there's only one of me. So no matter what you see, no matter how this word is written, because this word is written to confuse those that are not supposed to get it, to blind those that hearing they might hear and not comprehend, that seeing they might see and not perceive. He spoke in parables. He wrote the scriptures in such a way and had them written in such a way that everybody can't get this. So that he might judge them because it was in their hearts. When it's in your heart to truly seek after the Most High Elohim, and you, when you hear the truth about it, when you read it in the Word, it illuminates you. It lights you up. It lets you see, wow, what he's saying he means. There's only one. So I'm coming back to let the earth know that there's only me. I've had my kings to say it. I've had my prophets to say it. I have Messiah to say it, but it's the way he said it. Even thou alone of all the kings of the earth, thou hast made heaven. The one that made heaven and the earth is the one that came into the world. He says, and you beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. But in the Torah, he told you, I don't know any other Elohim. Contemplate that. If you say that's the Son talking, he says, I don't know a Father. And if the Father talking, he says, I don't know a Son. I don't know a Holy Ghost either. It's only me. I'm going to come back and make sure y'all know that. On that day, you're going to know that I alone am Elohim. So when the scriptures tell you there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, these three are one. Hey, is exactly what it means. Ain't no two or three. The same being is occupying all those offices. The same being is doing all that work. And when he comes back, he says, I'm coming back to make sure you know it. Chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And we're going to be reading down through verse 12. Psalms chapter 2, starting in verse 1, reading down through verse 12. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yah and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is what the world is doing with Israel that has been scattered throughout all the world. And then they try to come back and create a nation and say, oh, we are the lost people because they took an identity. Never had been in Israel. Never had been in Israel as a country, as a nation, as a people. But while we were scattered, Christianity started to rise. Islam started to rise. This kingdom didn't want to be Christian, and it didn't want to be Muslim. Oh, the root of this, of both of them, is really called the way. Judaism, but we're going to call it first so that we have a reference. We are Jews. That's who we are. Because Christians were saying this, Muslims were saying this, and where is the nation of Israel? Scattered. Let's take their identity. That way, we can say we're the root of Islam. We can say we're the root of Christianity. But they're not the people of the book and never have been. So they conspire. Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yah shall have them in derision. The heathen, he's going to have in derision, in delusion. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree. Yah has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I'm going to set my king, Messiah, on the throne that the heathen is controlling right now. In the nation that the heathen has said, we're the people of the Most High. But the ones who are there never had a claim to the land. The people who are supposed to be there are scattered throughout all the nations of the earth. And Yah has not brought us back into the land yet. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. A lot of people don't want to hear that. The nations that possessed Israel, the nations that took us as perpetual slaves, the Most High says, you know what? Ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. This, break them with a rod of iron, this goes for the entire world. This is why I say we as a people cannot undervalue what Yah has given to us. We cannot undervalue our salvation. We cannot undervalue our birthright. And we cannot rule separate from him and different than him. I'm going to break them with a rod of iron. In Revelations, you'll read, I'm going to rule them with a rod of iron. All the earth with a rod of iron. That means I'm cracking heads. You get out of line. Before I said, I love you and I forgive you. Now you get out of line, I'm going to crack your head. I'm going to crack your skull. I'm not taking no mess. I came in love before. I came to make peace. I came not to judge. But I've given you a space to repent. So when I come back, it's game on. And you ain't got a chance. Don't even think that you have a chance. If you've been walking contrary to me, I'm going to put a hurt on you. I'm going to rule you with a rod of iron. And shall dash into pieces like a polished vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. Be wise now, O ye kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Kiss Messiah, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, I ain't got to be really angry. No, all you got to do is make me a little man, and I'm subject to kill you. You see what the churches don't tell you about your Messiah? In Luke, the book of Luke, he says, all those who refuse to accept my reign, all those who refuse to submit themselves to me, bring them before me and kill them. That's right in the gospel. But it is prophesied what he's going to do. This is not a day that you should desire. Well, he's coming back, and like I said, he's passing out lollipops, donuts, ice cream sandwiches, and everything's going to be good. No. That is the furthest thing from the truth. If you make him a little angry, you subject to die. He's not playing. It ain't no joke. That's why he says, fear him. Because we think he's a joke. We think that now he ain't going to be all that. He ain't going to be that bad. Kiss Messiah, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Don't take what Messiah did for granted. Don't go and willfully sin after you know that he died for your sin. Don't go and try to make an excuse. I'm only human. You better be doing with all your might not to transgress and not to make him angry a little. Can we hear what the scriptures are saying to us? Can we hear what God says, Yah Elohim? This is not a day that you desire, and you don't want to see him if you walk in contrary. You do not want to meet Messiah if you're walking contrary. You don't want to meet Messiah if you have taken for granted the work that he did, what he opened to us, salvation. Not only that, I'm going to share my throne with you, and you're going to sit on that? You're going to take that great salvation for granted? So that you can have 2 to 30 minutes of pleasure, so that you can do what's pleasing in your own eyes, and then say you love me? Who do you think you're kidding? You ain't kidding me, because you're going to come, you come half-stepping and not in true fear of me, thinking you can BS me. Watch what happens to you. Hear the word of God, people. He's not playing, and he never was. And all these mythical stories coming up with about the Elohim of the Bible, about our Messiah and how it's going to be, they're just flat-out lies. It's going to be for all those who make it in. But guess what? Only a remnant going to make it in, of the Hebrew and of the Gentile. Because we're not taking seriously what the Most High has said concerning himself. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Because this is the way the world is. The book of Isaiah chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 10. And we're going to go down to verse 19. The book of Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of Yah and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and Yah alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yah of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. Anything that is lifted up, going to bow down to Yah. Whether it be man, whether it be tree, whether it be mountain, it don't matter. Everything's going to bow to him. Whoop. Get down on your face. Mountain, get down on your face. Tree, get down on your face. Man, get down on your face. Everything's going to bow down to him. Everything's going to lay flat. Don't anything exalt yourself to even think that you can stand up in my presence. Fear Yah. He can't say it enough. Verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and Yah alone shall be exalted in that day. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, trying to get away from him, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of Yah. You don't fear him now? Wait till he comes. You don't know why you need to fear him. For the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terror the earth. This is not a day that any of us should desire. He said, don't look for this day. Don't think that you even deserve to go through this day. Don't think that you're worthy. My word is true. But don't look for this day, because you know what? It ain't going to be nothing, nothing, nothing nice. You think you've seen horrors? You ain't seen horrors yet. The book of Revelation, chapter 6. The book of Revelation is chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And we will be reading through verse 17. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, And the sun became black, sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig when she is taken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What did the Most High, what is he saying? The sun's going to be darkened. The moon's going to be turned into blood. The stars from heaven are going to fall down to the earth. The heavens are going to depart. Pow! Roll up. That means the atmosphere is going to roll away. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. No mountain is going to be standing. No island is going to be raised up out of the water. Everything's going to bow down to him. Everything. And the kings of the earth and great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of mountains. And run into the mountain only get crushed. And said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. See, the Lamb, they'd be telling you that this is the day of the Lord, of the Most High, of God. He said, I'm coming to show you that there's only one God. I'm coming and you know me as the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Nothing shall be able to stand. Nothing and no one. When he said, get on your knees or get on your face, that's exactly what he means. Don't look up. This is a day, it's a terrible day. And see, we ought to be having this fear of him right now. We ought to be understanding that the Elohim we serve, he's a mighty Elohim. And he alone is the Elohim of the earth and of the heavens. He alone created everything. He alone saved us. And he alone will punish all those who took their salvation for granted and all those who refused to hear the truth. See, this is what the body, this is what the churches are failing to tell the body, because they have no fear of the Most High. He's their buddy. He's my friend. I'm here to tell you he's not. He's called one man his friend. I don't believe it was any of us. And when he comes back, he is not playing at all. This is not a day that you or I or any sane person should be praying for. Hurry back, Messiah, hurry back. You better make sure you're right before you call for that. You better make sure you're right and you're living in the fear of him before you even wish for that day. He says, even then, don't wish for it. Don't desire it. So terrible is that day going to be, don't even desire it, period. So terrible is it going to be. And you sitting here praying for it. You sitting here asking as though you got it made. You can be sure of your salvation. And even with that, he says, don't ask for this day. Because when he comes, the way he's coming, you're not going to know if he's going to pass you by and leave a peace off. Here you go. Here's a peace off. You made it. You ain't going to know till he passed. if you hear. He said, don't desire this day. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of Yah and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terrible the earth. That every man shall throw away his false god. The true and living Elohim is here. I better not be caught with anything that it look like I might worship. Isaiah chapter 34. The book of Isaiah chapter 34, starting verse 1. We're going to verses 1 through 4 right now. Come near, you nation, to hear and hearken or listen, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Yah is upon all the nations, his indignation, his wrath, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. That's a lot of blood. You're going to be melting mountains with people's blood? That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of life. That's why it says, and the slain of Yah shall be many in other places. Think about this earth, and we're coming up on 7 or 8 billion people. Should Yah tarry in 10 years or whatever, it could be 15 or 16 billion people. And he's coming, the amount of people he's going to kill. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as the fallen fig from a fig tree. Now we know all the stars in heaven can't fall on the earth, but it's going to appear to be that way. Could you imagine Yah waving his hand through the Kuiper belt, which is the belt that's between Mars and Jupiter, and there's nothing but asteroids there. And he just waves his hand through it, and they all start coming toward the earth, striking the earth. They're talking about an asteroid the size of, let's say, 100 miles, I believe it was, that they believe killed all the dinosaurs. One asteroid. And he's talking about these things falling to the earth like figs in a strong wind. He's tearing up some stuff. And it's not just hail coming from the thunderstorm either. It's in the stars. And ain't no bunker going to save you. Ain't no tornado, no storm cellar going to save you. And no nuclear fallout shelter going to save you. God says, you think you can build something that can withstand a nuclear weapon? I got things that you can't even. I got rocks that do more damage than the nuclear bombs you have. Rocks. Verse 5. Because this is a bad forecast for Israel and Edom. Adumia. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Adumia and upon the people of my curse. Who is the people of my curse? It's us. To judgment. The sword of Yah is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness. and with the blood of lambs and of goats and the fat of kidneys of rams. For Yah has a sacrifice in Basra and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullock and the bulls. Now these unicorns, if I'm not mistaken, that's like a rhinoceros. It's not like the horse with the horn on his head. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fat. For it is the day of Yah's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. See, Israel thinks that Israel gets away unpunished, but the Most High said, I will not let you go totally unpunished. You think you can treat me the way that you treated me and get away with it? Do you really think that? He says, no, it ain't happening. So we really have to be prayed up, fast up, in Messiah, in fear, doing everything that we're supposed to do, because the Elohim we serve, he's not coming a little angry. He's coming a lot angry. And after he spends his anger, after he has spent his anger, he says, now, any of y'all make me mad a little bit. You know, I done took out my wrath. I'm satisfied. But don't you dare even think you can walk before me, dishonor me, do anything to make me mad, just a little bit. I won't be hearing it. I won't be putting up with it. You didn't fear me before, and you thought you could say whatever you wanted to say. You could do whatever you wanted to do. Those days are over. Everything in my creation is going to give me my just due, my just respect. Everything, including you. I'm going to go to Obadiah chapter 1. Maybe not. Hold on a second. Let's go to Joel, the book of Joel. Joel, chapter 3. The book of Joel, chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Because in the same time frame that he brings again Judah and Israel, so shall he gather all the nations. Joel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We're going to be reading through verse 17. Joel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through verse 17. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me recompense? Are you going to repay me? If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. The children of Judah, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have been sold unto the Grecians, the Gentiles, that you might remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whether you have sold it, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Whatever you have done to them, I'm going to repay you what you have done to them. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the saving, to the people far off, for Yah has spoken. See, all these nations that know, they know. But when he comes back, he's saying, you can't just treat my people any kind of way. And I'm gonna deal with my people, but they're still my people, and they're still the apple of my eye. And I'm going to deal with all of you who thought that you could sell them, keep them perpetual slaves, discriminate against them, treat them less than human, where everything that you have done to them, I'm going to recompense it on you. I'm going to put it back on you. Even though I was angry with them, I didn't tell you to do all that. You chose to do all that. But now, because you have done it unto my people, I'm going to do it unto you. And all those, and you want to know who all those peoples are? All those peoples are all those nations whose banner is an eagle. I'll let you do your own homework. But their banner is an eagle. And the United States is not the only nation whose national, whose banner or whose national emblem is an eagle. Throughout all time. Go check it out for yourself. Verse 9. Proclaim you among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. Wait a minute. We always read those scriptures where you're going to beat your swords into plowshares. But first, before that happens, the Most High says, no, prepare for war. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say that I am strong. We have heard that verse before, but don't hear the rest, the other part. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about. Round about here. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yah. Let the heathen be weakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. But there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and get your ye down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 14, and we'll come back here. The book of Revelation chapter 14. Let me pull this up. Revelation chapter 14. Let's start at verse 8. Revelation chapter 14, starting in verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He told us he's coming with indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. Verse 13. And I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in Yah from henceforth. Yet, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So this is the time of Antichrist. This is the time they're going to ask you to take the mark of the beast. And if you don't take the mark, you're going to die. And if you love your life because you're afraid of death, you're going to lose your life, literally lose it, because the Most High is going to cause you to be killed and thrown into the lake of fire. So we got to understand that when he comes against the nation in this day, and when it says he's pleading with them for his people, the Most High don't plead or beg with anybody. That pleading don't mean like that. That pleading means give me mine. Don't, you know, you're not going to, it's not going to be, oh, please, come, give me my people, will you? I would appreciate if you would bring them back. No, not going to be like that. Yah, when Yah pleads, it's like that word pleading is like, I'm going to ask you once. And if you don't do what I say, do a contrary, like Nadab and Abihu, if you think you can just do what you want to do, I just burnt them up. I just burn you up. He's not playing. So he's saying, hey, for all those who are gathered in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, they are all on the Antichrist side. They have taken the mark of the beast. And the Most High says, I'm going to pour out my wrath on all of them. They're going to be tormented day and night. And their smoke is going to go up forever. But they ain't going to be consumed. Go back to the book of Joel. Chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of Yah is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shine. Yah also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but Yah will be hope of his people, the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. He's going to have his day with the heathen, because we were supposed to bring salvation to the heathen, and we are the apple of his eye. And he says, you know what? What son is there of mine that I don't chase? You guys messed up. I chastened you and sent you into slavery. And you still wouldn't learn your lesson. But you still my love. So those of you who repent and come out and come and serve me the way you're supposed to serve me, who fear me the way you're supposed to fear me, I'm your hope. You got to know that. You got to live in that. That should be your strength. That should be enough to keep you, to make you serve Yah with all your heart and all your might. Verse 17. So shall you know that I am Yah, your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. You got to be a member of the kingdom at this point. No strangers. You either in the kingdom or you're not. Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. Let me move this forward. We're going to run just a little bit late because I'm going to finish this tonight. So we might run maybe 10 minutes late. Okay? I'll stop yapping so much. Zechariah chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Behold, the day of God cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth in captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yah go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave or split in the midst or in the middle thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of the mountain toward the south. Now, he just told you, half of the mountain is going to go east and west and create a great valley. And then the second half, he tells you the other half is going to split again and go north and south. So it's going to split into four. It's going to be a great valley. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Josiah, king of Judah. And Yah, my Elohim, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall be, not be clear nor dark. How is the light not clear nor dark? But it shall be one day, which shall be known to Yah, not day nor night. Like twilight. And it shall come to pass that at the evening time it shall be light. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall be consumed in their hole, in their socket, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. We only know one thing that does that we have, and that's the nuclear bomb. But the Most High said he's going to cause this to happen, that their flesh shall be consumed away while they stand. That's scary. So you imagine you standing there, and all of a sudden your flesh starts to fly off your face, and your tongue starts to fly out of your mouth rotten. Your eyeballs melt in the socket. That's terrible. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yah shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. I'm going to turn y'all against each other. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, in apparel and great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse and of the mule and the camel and the ass and all the beasts that shall be in the tent as this plague. So it's not just going to happen to just men, but even the animals. Their flesh is going to consume away off of their body. Their eyes are going to melt. Whatever is happening is going to affect all flesh. The only thing that we have ever seen that does anything like this. A nuclear weapon does this to people who are close around about it. If you're too close, then you just get atomized. You just get consumed. But then if you are at the right distance, then your flesh starts to come off your body like that, and your tongue will consume out of your mouth, and your eyeballs will melt from a nuclear bomb. Now, the Most High said he's going to cause this to happen, and it is not a nice thing. Not a nice thing. Those that refuse to submit, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up after year to year to worship the king. The Most High is Israel's king, Messiah, Yah of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles every year after this. All the nations will be required to come to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles to worship. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yah of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be a plague, the plague wherewith Yah will smite the heathen that comes not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. See, why aren't they keeping it now? I mean, we keep the feast. We don't go to Jerusalem, but we still honor it. When it comes, we're going to have to go to Jerusalem. We should be already there. But if we're not, if we're among the nations, every year at Tabernacles, everybody's got to come. And there should be a punishment of and there should be punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, why do you think he singles Egypt out? Why do you think he singles Egypt out? Okay, with the rest of the nation, but he singles Egypt out. Let's go get one verse. And we'll come back to this. The truth of the word. I think it's Isaiah 19:26. Let me see. Let me put on my glasses. Book of Isaiah 19. Let's go to Isaiah 19. Let's get verses 24 and 25. The book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. And in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yah host shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. Blessed be Egypt, my people. If Egypt don't come up, after the Most High restores them, he says it's going to cause no rain to come on their land. I told you that Sahara Desert didn't get that way. It wasn't a natural act. The Most High caused the Sahara Desert. The nation of Egypt was a great empire, global empire, and Yah destroyed it because he was the Elohim in Egypt, and they corrupted themselves. So he went and found a man named Abraham to start a new nation. He says, now I'm going to have a different relationship with this man and this nation. This is mine inheritance out of the earth. But who were his people? Read it for yourself. Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. We belong to the Most High. When he comes back, if Egypt don't come to Tabernacles, he says, I'm going to cause the thing out to rain on them, and then I'm going to put a plague on them and any other nation that don't come up to Tabernacle. Out of all the people that are left. All right, let's go back to Zechariah. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 46. The book of Psalms, chapter 46, starting in verse 9. He maketh wars to speak. This is an overview of after the day of Yah. I'm not going to go into details into these scriptures, but after that day, he maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in two. He burneth the chariot, all the weapons of war he gets rid of. After he tells, you know, I'm destroying all the armies of the earth. I'm calling you to war, so that I might destroy you all. The book of Joel, chapter 3. We get verses 18 through 21. The book of Joel, chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and our fountain shall come forth of the house of Yah, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolation, a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for Yah dwelleth in Zion. So Yah says, I'm going to make good on my priesthood. This is my inheritance. These belong to me. All the nations of the world, out of all the nations of the world, only you have I loved. That's a strong statement. Only you have I loved. But you went a whoring after other gods. But I'm going to still get my inheritance. All those that love me. And these are not going to all be Israel or Hebrews of the flesh. But I'll get to that one in another time. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. We only have a couple left after this. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto Yah. And the pots in Yah's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto Yah of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day shall be no more Canaanite in the house of Yah of hosts. So, all those people who came in, the heathens that took over, the Most High says they're not going to be in the house anymore. And every pot in Jerusalem, in Judah, shall be holy. They're going to be such a great sacrifice that when the nations come, sacrifices of animals are not going to stop. The smell of cattle and the fat thereof, the smell of it cooking is pleasing to the Most High. It's a pleasant smell in his nose. He likes it. He loves it. He says, I never wanted this, you to be doing this for sin. You make it stink when I got to do this for your sin. I never wanted the flesh of bulls and goats for sin. But I had to use those animals in place of you, or else I would have to kill all of you. I let the animals be in your stead until I could send the perfect sacrifice, Messiah, so I could come myself. Revelation chapter 7. And with this we'll be done. The book of Revelation, chapter 7. After this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elk, and the four beasts, and fell upon before the throne on their faces, and worshiped Elohim, saying, amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence, or from where, came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, every nation, kindred, and tongue. Not just the nation of Israel. All those that love the Most High Elohim. All those who repented of their sins and the sins of their forefathers. If not, they have to pay for the sins of their forefathers, just as we had to. Let's keep going. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. No sun, no hunger, no thirst. Don't need to eat anymore. Don't need to drink anymore. You have put on your eternal body. Food don't matter. This body can't die. It don't get thirsty. He says the sun don't light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And Elohim shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. That is the end for all those that love Messiah. I pray that something was said to you, that you might fear the Most High, that you might serve him with your whole heart, that you might understand that he is not and now and has never been plain, that he has been just and righteous and merciful. And the fact that he don't kill the whole world every day, his mercies are renewed every day. But you can't go and willfully sin and say, oh, his mercy is renewed. Because if you willfully sin, there is no more blood for that. There is no mercy for that. Don't look for this day. Pray to Yah that he have mercy daily for all those who are not in truth. For the world that don't understand that when he comes, it's going to be terrible. That don't fear him. Pray for them. Pray for yourself if you don't fear him. If you think that, oh, my God loves me. He would never do that to me. Really. Pray that Yah continues to dispense his grace. He has appointed a day when he's going to return and it's going to be too late. For anybody, you know, if I was going to repent, oh yeah, I was going to stop that. Oh yeah, I know I shouldn't have been smoking or drinking or doing that weed or whatever. I know that I should not be corrupting this temple. Who is this temple, which he says, who we are. And that he shall destroy those that defile his temple. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to pray out. Because you know this is not a day that you should desire. If we had a church building, a building, I want you to ask yourself, would you walk up in the church smoking a cigarette? Would you walk into the sanctuary smoking a cigarette? Would you get drunk in the sanctuary? Would you get high in the sanctuary? Would you fornicate in the sanctuary? Would you willfully sin in the sanctuary? If you know that you are the temple of the Most High Elohim, why would you do those things? Because it's your body. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. the blood of Messiah. He says, I will destroy those who destroy my temple, who defile it. Why would you think that that doesn't apply to you? You wouldn't, if it was a building, I know you wouldn't walk up in there with a cigarette in your mouth or a joint or drunk or any such thing. But because it's your body, you think you have a right to. You have no right to it. So stop. Because Yah is not playing. Repent. Because his word is true. I'm coming back to destroy those who defile my temple. You are my temple. I desire to reside in you. So don't know this and keep the mess up. Don't know this and keep making excuses or justifying yourself. If it's not for medicinal purposes, stop. And you know whether it's true or not. You might be able to fool me, maybe. But you definitely cannot fool the Most High Elohim. And he's calling all men to repentance. All men and women. Everywhere, especially those of us who say we are of the household of faith, but we still want to do these things? No. Yah says it's time. Put those things away. Stop trying to justify yourself. Stop thinking that you're the exception, because we are not. We are his inheritance out of every nation, kindred, and blood. You want to throw away that for a pup, for a buzz? Are you kidding me? Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, your day, you know what that day is. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. Thou know it, O Yah. Father, we don't want to take for granted this gift of salvation that you have given us. We don't want to take for granted that you have selected us, that you have chosen us, that you desire to reside in us, that we should be your temple. Father, help us, strengthen us, convict us, chastise us if necessary, Father. Let none of us who have heard this word walk contrary to your word anymore. Let us do the right thing. Help us to do the right thing. We need you. This flesh is nothing nice, Father. You know it. You came and dwelt in. And you said you would advocate for us because you know what we go through. Father, those of us that are weak, help us. We need you. We love you, Father, and we just want to do the right thing in your eyes. We know that when you come back, even now, you are not playing, that you are serious about your work. Father, give us the spirit of the fear of you. Let us understand. Let us see it. Give it to us in a dream, just how terrible you are, that we might quake at the thought of transgressing against you, that we might tremble, that we might have the proper respect of you, Father. Give us wisdom. You have said in your own word, Father, that the fear of you is the beginning of all wisdom. The beginning of all wisdom. We want to know wise things and not fear you. Father, help us understand it don't work. For each and every person, Father, give them such as they need that they might come into a right and understanding and righteous relationship with you, that they might lie down on their face in reverence to you, Father, knowing that we are not even worthy to stand in your presence. The mountains won't stand. The islands won't stand. None of the trees will stand in your presence, Father. And neither will any man. We should be reverencing you like that already. Help us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, as I said, I don't know what the precept's going to be tomorrow morning. I don't know yet. Yahweh will give it to me. But I pray that you go on your face before Yahweh today, that you understand that you are not worthy to stand in his presence, and that the genuine fear of him enter into your heart, that you might not see the day of his return. It is not a day that you or I or anyone or anything should desire. If the Most High is telling us this is not a day that we should desire, trust me, it's a day that we should not desire. So I pray that we fear Yah and keep his commandments. Sunday, we are still on the children. How are the children? Join us as we go through the process of healing, as we deal with the illnesses that we have and the spirits that we have born out of our forefathers' disobedience and through slavery. Yah wants us to heal, and he wants us to come to him with our whole hearts that we might have the right relationship with him, that we might do the work that he has assigned to us. So join us so that we can heal and that we can help others to heal as well. That being said, may Yah encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you way more. Shalom. And happy Sabbath.
If I don't have you, it's all about you, 'cause it's
without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? It's all about you, cause without you there's no